your grace and your mercy upon us sinners, Lord. And we're just so grateful that you did what you did at the cross for us. What a wonderful thing, and help us never to forget it, Lord. And as we go through our walk day by day with you, and help us not to forget what you've done for us, and keep in our memory the finished work on that cross that you provided for all of us, Lord. And Father, now we pray that your hand would be, we'd have your guided hand in this lesson today, that we would learn how to better walk with you, and not only you, but with the people around us. For Christ's sake, we pray, amen. Okay, so last time we met, we were trying to figure out why Cain is put here in the book of 1 John chapter 3, verses 12. And we'll go ahead and read it. The Bible says, we'll start up a couple, maybe verse 11. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. And so, the Bible is very specific when things are put in passages. And it looks like this fellow Cain here, he's put here as an example to show us what happens when we as Christians do not take correction from God. Okay? When a person cannot take correction from his Creator, there will be no fellowship with him. None at all. And there will be no fellowship with that Creator. And if there's no fellowship with that Creator, eventually they will hate those that do good. They're going to hate them. And they'll be jealous of them, and they'll be envious of them. Do you know why they crucified Jesus Christ? Why his own people, his own brothers, blood brothers, crucified Jesus Christ? Because Jesus always did good. He always did good. He always did righteous. And the people got envious and jealous and crucified him, just as Cain killed his brother. Why? Because he would not take correction from God. Cain would not take correction from God. The Jews would not take correction from the prophets, right? That's why they killed Jesus. The Jews would not take correction from Jesus himself, who is God, when he came to this earth. And so they wouldn't take correction from God himself when Jesus walked on this earth. And if you and I, as a Christian, allow ourselves to be deceived, verse 7, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteous is righteous, even as he is righteous. You know what Cain was? He was deceived. He thought his own works were good enough, and God showed him that they weren't. And guess what happened? He got mad. He got envious toward his brother. He ended up killing his brother. Why? Because he wouldn't take correction. He wouldn't get it right. And God showed him, hey, all you have to do is bring forth the lamb, and you'll be accepted, just as your brother was accepted. And he wouldn't do it. If a Christian starts to think that it's okay to sin, and starts to believe that, hey, I'm doing okay, when he's not, guess what? Eventually, that Christian will start getting envious and getting jealous of their brother, even in Christ. And they'll start just like Cain. Why? Because they won't take correction from the Creator and admit that they're sinning. And they'll look at their brother in Christ who's accepted of God for what he's doing, and they'll get mad at him, and they'll start to hate. And that's a work of the flesh, folks. It's a work of the flesh. There's broken fellowship, and then it becomes hate. And folks, sin never leads you to love your brother. only righteousness will lead you to love your brother. It never does. Sin never does. Verse 13. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. For those that are saved and living right and loving others, you need to expect no love, right, in return, but for people to hate you. That's what you need to expect. And if they think they can get away with it, they'll kill you. That's the world, folks. And that's why all the religions of this world hate Christianity, because it's righteous and it's based on belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why they hate us. That's why they hate Christians, Christ-like people that have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. All the religions of the world hate true Christianity. Why? Because true Christianity reveals sin in others' lives. And people don't like to be shown that they're not good. They don't. And when you live right, you reveal to others that they're lacking something in their lives. And people hate that. They want to believe that they're the fullness. They've made it. They've attained. And when you live right, you show them that they haven't attained. They haven't attained anything without Jesus Christ. And so, and living right reveals that to others that they're lacking something. There's something lacking in their lives. And Jesus Christ warns his disciples. He warned his disciples that the world would hate them. Look, if you would, in John 15. He warned them. John 15, verse 17. The Bible says, "These things I command you, that ye love one another." And that's what we're talking about here in 1 John chapter 3. He's talking about the commandment that he gave from the beginning, that you should love one another, love your brother. Okay, so if the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. How can the world get along with somebody that is not of the world anymore? It can't. It can't. And so a good telltale sign that you're not living right is if the world doesn't hate you. That's a pretty good telltale sign. I'm not a guy that looks for signs, but if the world starts to really like you, there might be something that you're not doing right according to the Bible. And in my case, it doesn't really matter. The world hates me regardless. I can't help it. There's just something, I just rub them the wrong way all the time. But anyway. But if we don't live a life that is manifesting to others that we're not the same as they are, they'll get along with us. They'll get along with us. They'll think that we're one of them, right? And why? Because there's not going to be any conviction in their lives. There won't be any conviction in their lives. And in essence, we can talk about the love of Jesus all we want, right? But unless we can back that up with our love for others, it really falls on deaf ears. And when we go, when we do back it up with action, it often falls on deaf ears, right? You can love others all you want and they still hate you. Bible says, hey, these things I command you, that you love one another. And then he tells them that they're going to hate you because you're not of the world. And so even when you do back it up, it falls on deaf ears a lot of times. But wouldn't you rather be better off with the latter than the former? Right? At least with the latter part, living right and it's falling on deaf ears, you're pleasing your Savior, right? And if you're not, and it's falling on deaf ears, you're not pleasing your Savior. So there's the deaf ear thing. It falls upon deaf ears when you don't live back up what you're saying, and it also falls on deaf ears when you do. But when you do back up what you're saying, it pleases the Father. It pleases the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. We're probably going to get through this a little quicker than I thought. 1 John chapter 3, verses 14. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Okay? And so, do you love the brethren, or do you love certain brethren? Right? And not love certain brethren? That's the question. The Bible is very clear here in 1 John that a person can know that they have passed from death unto life. How? By their love for the brethren. Their brethren. Christianity, or being Christ-like, carries with itself certain attributes. And one of those attributes is love for the brethren. And for those that have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and what is that? To abide in Him, there is one thing that you must do, and that is love. Right? Love the brethren. And but because you don't know who they are, well, we might know who they are in this church, but we don't know who they are as we walk around on the face of this earth. You don't. You don't know who they are. I would take this verse, because you don't know who they are, I would take this verse to mean anybody that crosses your path, folks. Anybody. It's a possible brethren. You don't know who they are. You don't know who's trusted in Jesus Christ and who hasn't. And because of that fact, anybody that crosses your path is a potential brother. Right? And now, the Bible is going to define how you're to love your brother. And, you know, the one that you come across to out in the world that you don't know who they are, right? The one on the street, or the one that knocks on the door, or the one in the supermarket. And it's going to define how to love them in the next few verses. Now, if you can't do what the Bible clearly shows, then you don't love your brother. You don't love your brother. And you may say you do, and you may act like you do, and especially with your friends, but let God be true and every man a liar, right? If you can't do what the Bible says here in the next couple of verses, then you can say it all you want, but the Bible will make you a liar. And we all are liars, really, we are. Verse 15, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Now, Cain hated his brother, right? And the result of his hatred was murder, right? The Jew hated their brother. And, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Who was born of the Virgin Mary, and the result of their hatred was murder. They murdered him. Now, in order to be called a murderer in the Bible, right, you have to be trusting in something else other than the Lord Jesus Christ for your eternal salvation. Because there's no murder is going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. No murder. And so, just because you're saved and you can never be called a murderer, right, doesn't mean that you can't commit the act of murder. Okay, we're all capable of it. You can commit this act of murder. Why? Because you won't take correction. That's why Cain is put here. He didn't take the correction. You won't take correction and abide in the truth, which is abiding in Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, right? And so, if you don't abide in Jesus, if that's not where you're putting yourself day in and day out, guess what? You can commit this act of murder. You can. It's a lust of the flesh. And so it's right. As a Christian, you can commit the act of murder because you're abiding in death. Like what the Bible says, abiding, or it talks about the body of this death, right? You abide in the body of this death. Guess what? You can commit this act. And it's referred to as the body, this body right here is referred to as the body of this death in Romans chapter 7:24. Go ahead there and read this real quick. 7:24. Oh, wretched man. Here's Paul. He's talking about himself here, right? Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death, right? Back in 1 John, you have abiding in death. Abiding in death. And so this wretched man can perform this act of murder. It can perform hatred. And when a person abides in death, what will he fulfill? What will he fulfill? He will fulfill the lusts of the flesh. That's what he will fulfill. Abiding in death will fulfill the lust of the flesh. And that's found in Galatians 5. And we'll go ahead there and read it again. Hey, we folks, constantly we got to be put in this memory of what we really are and what we're capable of and what this body is capable of if we abide in it, the body of this death. Now, sure, we have to walk around and we got this luggage that we carry around all day, but we don't have to abide there, right? We can put ourselves somewhere else in the Spirit, and we talked about that before. Galatians 5, here it is. Let's go back up to verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. If you're abiding in death, folks, you're abiding in this body and you're not abiding in Jesus Christ, right? Even as a saved individual, when you abide in Christ, you're having fellowship with Him, you're always doing right. You're not sinning. You're walking in the Spirit, always doing right, always doing what the Bible tells you to do. But we find ourselves this war going on. Remember, the flesh and the body, and the spirits warring against each other, and it's who we want to yield to. Who are we going to yield to? And so if you're not yielding to the Spirit, you're fulfilling the lusts of the flesh. And one of the lusts of the flesh is hatred. Look, if you would. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred. There it is. Didn't Cain hate his brother? Yes. And what was the result of his hatred? Variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Okay? And so, hatred for the brethren is a lust of the flesh, a work of the flesh. It happens when you abide in death, the body of this death. You want to abide in this body, it's going to lead you to hatred towards your brother. If you want to abide in this body, it's going to lead you to murder your brother. And there's more than one ways to murder somebody, folks. I mean, stealing from them. You're taking their life away. You're taking part of their life away. There's more than one way to kill somebody. And the Bible tells us that while we're fulfilling the lust of the flesh, folks, you're not going to have any peace. Peace is inheritance, folks. It's an inheritance of the kingdom of God. Look, if you would, peace. But the fruit of the Spirit, there's something you get for walking in the Spirit. It's something you inherit. It comes to you because of this, right? And one of them is fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Guess what? Abide in death, no peace. You don't get the peace. It's an inheritance of the kingdom of God. You can have it right now. Why would he throw that in there? Folks, let me ask you something. When Jesus Christ returns, are you not going to have peace all the rest of your days? Right? For eternity? Are you not going to have meekness and temperance and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith? Aren't you going to have that for eternity? You can have that now. It's an inheritance. It's the kingdom of God is within you, right? And if you're fulfilling the lust of the flesh, you're forfeiting that inheritance right now. You're not going to forfeit it later in eternity. You forfeit it now. That's an inheritance you can have now while you're walking on this earth. And so while you're walking in the Spirit, you can have all of these fruit. The fruit of the Spirit. When you're not walking in the Spirit, gone. You forfeit it. You forfeit it. Right? And you cannot receive this inheritance while fulfilling the lust of the flesh or abiding in death. And so I hope everybody sees the importance of this right here, you know, in Galatians. You can have this inheritance now. You're going to have it later. That's a guaranteed. But right now, as we walk through this earth, you can have this inheritance, which is from the it's a fruit of the Spirit. It comes when you walk in the Spirit. Okay? It's present tense. It's a present tense inheritance for the child of God that is that you receive when you're walking in the Spirit while on this earth. And it's something that a child of God can presently forfeit, right, while on this earth. But you're not going to forfeit it later. You're going to have all that later. Because you're always going to do right when Christ comes, when he returns. However, a child of God, every child of God shall inherit the kingdom of God when Christ returns, which is the fruit of the Spirit. If you as a child of God hate your brother, right, do you know what you can forfeit while hating your brother here on this earth? You can lose love for certain brethren, right? Which can result in losing the peace of the assurance of salvation, which can result in losing faith in the Word of God, which can cause you to lose goodness and so on. And so on, right? Until you're a complete wreck. And you've made everything in your life a wreck. Why? All because you don't like that one brother that sits on the back pew. You hate him. And you wish he was gone and you wish he was dead. See how easy that this can happen, folks? And see what the results of this could be? And so, that's the Bible. That's the Bible. And now if you want to believe that a child of God can lose the fruit of the Spirit, which is an inheritance to every believer when the Lord comes back, that's up to you. I don't believe that. Because I know that he's going to make me like Christ when he returns. And I'm going to have this inheritance in the millennium. The fruit of the Spirit. But I know that. But the Bible talks about you can lose that now. And folks, you can. And I think everybody in here knows that you can lose your peace. And you can hate. And you can do all sorts of things if you allow this body to do it, right? And so, now sure, a Christian can lose his rewards. We know that. He can lose his rewards that would have been given to him. Why? So he can give them back to Christ. We can lose those rewards that we could have gotten, that we are going to give back to Jesus Christ anyway. Right? But wouldn't that be a shame if we go through this whole life and all we have to offer is our souls and our bodies and our spirits at the judgment seat of Christ? We have nothing else that we did, nothing else that he did for us, and he gave us all the power to do. That would be a shame. It would be a shame. Now think about that for a moment. Your rewards are based upon what you inherit here on this earth, which is based upon the choice you make to walk in the Spirit or fulfill the lusts of your flesh. And folks, you see how the Bible can slice and dice? One little hate can ruin so much that the Lord wants for us. And folks, it's something to chew on. Something to chew on. Verse 16 of 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. The Bible says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, that we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." Okay, so Jesus Christ, we know he gave his life for us. Why? So we could live a selfish life and keep our lives for ourselves, right? No, that's not what the Bible says. We're to lay down our lives for the brethren. That's what the Bible says, folks. What do you think Paul did for us? Think about Paul's life. What did he do for us? How about Peter? How about James, John, Matthew? And all the Christians that you never even heard about, right? Who gave, what did they give up for you and I? Listen, folks, there's no sacrifice in our lives. If there's no sacrifice in our lives, folks, you know what happens to Christianity? No sacrifice. You know who suffers? The next generation of Christians. And the next generation of Christians. And the next generations. Until there's no Christians at all. And then you know what? The Lord has to come back. He has to come back at that point. Right? Until the times of the Gentiles before come in. And so, you know what happens when there's no sacrifice in our lives? Nobody gets convicted of sin. Nobody gets convicted of sin. Why? Because we don't live right. They don't hate us because there's nothing for them to hate about. There's nothing for them to hate. For them not having. There is no envy anymore. There's no jealousy, and there is no need for saved people to be here anymore. Right? It's a sacrifice that needs to be made. That's laying down our lives for the brethren. That's doing right. That's doing good. That's loving our brothers. That's loving our sisters in Christ. And so, and that will result in others coming to Christ. Maybe not all, but it'll result in others to coming to Christ. And folks, that's hard to do in this body, right? But that's why we're given a comforter, and to help us. Why? Because we wouldn't be able to do this without the Lord's help. We wouldn't be able to do anything without the Lord's help, let alone love our brother. And that's why God had to perform an operation on us, so that it would be easy for those who love God to choose to abide in him and do right. When you live right and do right, it convicts others, and they will either hate you for it and kill you for it, or they'll want to have what you have. And they'll want, and they'll come to Christ, and as a result. And folks, that, my friend, is laying down your life for the brethren. Right? Abel did right. What did it cost him? It cost him his life. He laid down his life for his brother. Right? Jesus did right. And what did it cost him? It cost him his life. He laid down his life for others. And so, same with the disciples. They did right. It cost them their lives. And if we do right, folks, it's probably going to cost us our lives, right? Maybe not to the point where we're being killed, but you're going to have to sacrifice your life and the things that you want to do in your life. Why? What for others? It's going to cost you something. And if you're selfish and you want to keep it all for yourself, then you won't do right, and your brothers and sisters will suffer for it. They'll suffer for it. And so, but if you do right, it's going to cost you your life. It will. It's called laying down your life for the brethren. And we'll go ahead and stop there. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your words. And Father, we pray that you would help us to do right. You've given us all the help, but we just need to walk that way. And we pray that we would walk that way. Walk in the Spirit, and we won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And we know what the lust will do, Lord. It'll cause us to commit a whole bunch of different sins, and we need not to do that. We need to live right and lay down our life for the brethren. And we pray that we would do that for Christ's sake. Amen.